Okay, boys, let's begin. This week is Parashas Mishpatim. Mishpatim is a very powerful pasuk, a very powerful parasha. Let's discuss some of the reasons, the significance of Parashas Mishpatim. Number one, it is the end of Shevavim. Shevavim, different ways to pronounce it. Shevavim, Shuvavanim, Shevavim. Wayward children return. Shevavim stands for Shemos Ve'ero Bo B'Shalach Yisro Mishpatim. It is a time that is miyuchid to do tshuva. There are many reasons why we observe Shevavim. Many, some people, they fast every Monday, Thursday. Some people... It's the shortest time of the year, right? Possibly. It's a tkufa when that is devoted to do tshuva. Some are of the opinion that it's done tshuva specifically for matters relating to bris mila, shmira sabris, meaning arayos, to do tshuva for hirhure arayos, things along that line. Others, the whole, it has nothing to do with that. It has to just a general time when it's the longest days of the year, it's dark. And darkness is symbolic of golos. It's a time of the year when Edom, when Esav is dominant, and therefore it is a time for us to tshuva for Golus. That's why the words, these Shmos of Erebo, Mishalach, Yisro, Mishpatim, is Shevavim, Shuvu Vanim Shevavim, repent, do tshuva, wayward children. By doing tshuva, we will bring the Golus. So it is significant that with the Siyum, every time you make a Siyum on something, it is definitely a significant event. Parashas Mishpatim, with the learning of Parashas Mishpatim, it is the Siyum of the Yemei Shevavim. That itself is extremely significant about Parashas Mishpatim. Another significant thing about Parashas Mishpatim is a new beginning. Mishenichnas Adar, Marbim Besimcha. We bench mevarich typically in a regular year when it's done a leap year. Parashas Mishpatim almost always is Shabbos Shkolim. It's the zman of birchas mevarich chodesh Adar. Already the rays, the dawn of Mishenichnas Adar marbim besimcha. Okay, it's also Parashas Shkolim. We discussed this yesterday. Shkolim, 1 month before Chodesh Nisan, we have the mitzvah, Machrizin. Bezin makes an announcement. It's a time people should pay attention that you should bring Shkolim to the Beis HaMikdash to bring new Korbanos Mitzvah Chadash. Some of the Chassidish Yisrael say that Shabbos Parashas Shkolim is a special Koyach HaTfilah. Not underestimate the koyach tefillah on Parashas Shkolim, because the tefillos of the entire year, of every single day of the year, are rooted in this week's parsha. Because what, when we daven every single day when we daven, Unashalma Farim Sifaseinu, the tefillos have been established corresponding to korbanos. Korbanos are offered from the funds, the communal funds. On Rosh Chodesh, Chodesh Alechem Rosh Chodeshim, you have to be Chadesh, bring, and Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Truma Chadasha. This Shabbos is the announcement that people should bring Shkolim to the Beis HaMikdash in order to purchase Korbanos. So the Korbanos can come from the communal funds, and that is something which will be used the entire year to offer Korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the Tzibur. And this Shabbos is the announcement, is the root, is the Shoresh of those coins being delivered, being sent to the Beis HaMikdash. It is the Shoresh, and the Korbanos is the Koyach HaTfilah. Our Tfilahs correspond to Korbanos. So therefore, Chazal tell us, the Chassidus Rambam says, they tell us that don't underestimate. If you want to have Kavanah, there's one Shabbos during the year when you want to have extra special Kavanah, when you misfollow, it's Shabbos Shkolim. Shabbos Shkolim is the Shoresh, the root of the Koyach HaTfilah for the entire year. It's not to be taken lightly. Okay, Shabbos Mishpatim is also the Shabbos of Chol Asher Dibur Hashem Nase V'Nishma. Nase V'Nishma, sorry, it's not in Parashas Yisro. It's probably the most common mistake. Suddenly it's not in Bakim Chumash. You would think Nase V'Nishma is in Parashas Yisro. It's not in Parashas Yisro. It's in Parashas Mishpatim at the end of all of the laws. And therefore that tells us that it's a Kabbalah Satora. It's the Gemar. Parashas Mishpatim is the Gemar of Kabbalah Satora. Parashas Yisro is the Haskola. It's the big things, the Aser Hadibros, the klolos, and Mishpatim are the pratos, are the small details, and therefore that itself is also extremely significant. Another significant thing about Parashas Mishpatim, it's the chut hamishulish of the koyach of refuah. What do we mean the koyach of refuah? Because in Parashas B'Shalach it says kol hamachlos im shemoyah tishma l'kolos shulchecha v'ayosha bein yaseh. v'shamarta kol chukav v'zanta l'mitzvosav v'shamarta kol chukav kol amachla asher samti v'mitzrayim lo yosim alecha ki ani Hashem roifecha. In fact, someone told me that in his shul, the minig is if a chas v'shalom, there ever is a person that's a choyle, a serious choyle, they always give the shira to the choyle. Because that pasuk, kol amachla asher samti v'mitzrayim lo yosim alecha, they don't want to embarrass him, of course, but in the situation, normally the rav, many shuls, the rav gets, the rav is not a kohen, the rav gets the shira. But being that the last pasuk of the shira is kol amachla, he told me that in his shul, the rav always gives the shira to a chas v'shalom as a person that needs a refuah, he gives this bracha. So parashas, so this is parashas b'shalach. Parashas yisho, it's not explicit, maybe it is, there's a reference. By the time of Ma'an Torah Chazal, tell us all of the cholim, cholam reimes akolos. Every single person could see, every single person could heal. And there was Hagbalah, there are many diyukim, I don't know about diyukim, but the diyukim that any person that was ill, there were no cholim. Doctors went bankrupt. And it wasn't even because of Obamacare. They went bankrupt because there were just no business. There was no business. Therefore, there were no chayim. They were all nisrap in honor of Matan Torah. So that is a significant event of refuah. And this week's parsha it says, "Rak shifto yitain v'rapo yirape." So it's the trial. It's the parshas Mishpatim. The parshim say it's a very significant. It's the chut hamishulish. It's a chazaka that is going to be refuah. Anyone who needs refuah, this is the shleimus of refuah. So we have over here all of these.
What? When he's sick, you don't make him a mishabera. He's in shul.
Shabbos Timalitzak, Refuah Kravolava. You don't write that.
You know, if the person's in shul, you're not supposed to make the Refuah. Shmera, only if he's not there.
Shabbos, because Shabbos Timalitzak. And Shabbos is not
one
his man.
Sheet over there, I read in the Chai, it says you make a, I don't know if you said it or it's just in the Svarim, that you only make a Mishaber for Chayla once. You don't keep doing it again and again. It's like an insulting to God. He said, "What are you
going to
remind me again? You think I forgot? You get one shot at it.
That's not the minute, though.
You get one shot. That's now I heard you. I wrote it down.
If you have an eye in you,
it's not the minute.
I'm telling you what this one. Obviously, we don't do that. But I'm just saying, it was a shita like that.
Okay. There are different opinions. I am Panlatara.
Maybe that's what God wants.
Okay.
Kayachat feel is always there.
Okay. There's another thing I came across in the Chassidish Sefer. I like this very much. I never heard this before, that the Dal, among the Chassidim, if anyone here is a Chassid, you can tell us if this is true, that among the Chassidim, the Dal of Parshios, there's a term. It's called the Gute Shabbosim. Notice, the Gute. Gute in Yiddish means the good. For the Dal, you ever heard this before? The Dalit Parashios are called the Gute Shabbosim. Now, by the way, it's Shabbosim, not Shabbosos. Because in Yiddish, in Hebrew, it's Shabbosos. If you say Shabbosim to a person who doesn't know Hebrew,
like
they get very mad at you.
Right.
But in Yiddish, it's Shabbosim. The Gute Shabbosim. Why is it called the Gute Shabbosim? So I saw this. The thing they say is called Vayakel David. It's a chassid sefer. He goes through every single parsha. He tells you all these interesting things about the parsha, not related to the parsha itself, but just about what is the significance. I think it's called Vayakel David. It's a fantastic sefer. It's not about, not on the parsha. It's about the parsha, the significance of each week. And he explains that what does it mean? Why is it the minhag chassidim to call the Dalit parshios? We're beginning a series this week. Shkolim, Zohar, Para, Chodesh. This Shabbos, the first Shabbos of a four-part series. Why do we call it the Gute Shabbosim? The Gute Shabbosim. So he says, because we take out two Sifrei Torah during these Shabbosos. On a regular Shabbos, you only take out one. This year we have a bonus. We take out a Shabbos HaChodesh. What's so funny?
I just, you switch from Shabbosos to Shabbosos. I mean, the idea of Yiddish,
Gute
means good. So the excuse that Yiddish excuses illiteracy.
Akhusit wouldn't say Gute.
Look, no, it's not an excuse. We all, every single living creature today in America has influenced, his mind has been influenced because of Yiddish. Either for his parents, his grandparents, and it's crept into his vernacular. That's how it is. And most people say Shabbos. It's not, even people are very mock. What? You're the exception. You're the Shabbos. It's not Shabbos. Shabbos. Why are we going around saying Shabbos?
We do.
It's Shabbos. Why do we say why Shabbos? The answer also, you could say, when the simple answer is, we're illiterate. We're illiterate. Uh-huh. We're not machmid. Uh-huh. There's this slang, there's English, and there's this, there's that. But you don't need to come on to that for Shabbos, because Shabbos is the correct way to pronounce Sabbath in Yiddish. In Yiddish, there's no such thing as Milara. Shabbos is like, in English, is Sabbath. Shabbat. That's Sfaradit. And in Ashkenazi, it says Shabbat. Shabbos. Shabbat is Sfaradit. That's modern Hebrew. And in a Litvak should really say Shabbos. 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 Milara. And a komatz, Shabbos. But you don't need to come on to illiteracy to explain why it is extremely common for many people who even medaktikim to say Shabbos, good Shabbos. First they say good. Good is Yiddish. You say good with a D, or you say with a test, good or good. Many people say good, Yiddish. Good Shabbos. Why? Shabbos in Yiddish, there's no such thing as milara. There is never a word where you put the emphasis on the end of the word. In Yiddish, every single word, the emphasis is on the beginning. Therefore, it's Shabbos, not Shabbos. Shabbos is Hebrew. Shabbos is not a Hebrew word. Just like in English, it's Sabbath. In Yiddish, it's Shabbos. It's not a Hebrew word. So it's good. Okay, we're going off time. I want to get out. Why is it called the Gute Shabbosim?
It's an acronym.
That for what? Chidush Rebbe Meir.
Gimel is Geld. Yud is Yimach HaMolek. Tes is Tahara. And Aleph is the, you know, first Rishaydish.
Wow.
Yeah, but if you're saying Gute, it's an ayin.
You just made that up?
Gute, ooh. Wow, pretty quick.
I'll change the alias.
Okay. So I saw something which I personally, I don't know if you'll like this. This is what he says. He says, what's unique about this Shabbos, we discussed yesterday from Rav Shmuel Salant and from Rav Nosson Adler. It was their custom. They only took out one Sefer Torah on Parshas Shkolim because you don't have to be goyel the Sefer Torah very much. That's not the minhag. That's not accepted minhag. The minhag is you take out two Sefer Torah, and a commandment says the first in the Rambam, take out two Sefer Torah. And that's why it's called, because Torah is Vayar Elokim Es Ha'or. Vayar Elokim Es Ha'or Ki Toiv. What was the R? The R was the R Hagonos. It refers to the R HaTorah. The R Vayehudim Es Ha'ora Simcha Sason Vikar. Oira. Zu Torah, or is Torah, and or Vayar Elokim Es Ha'or Ki Toiv. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu, they saw the Yeled. What is in the pasuk? Vayar So Ki Tov Hu. And what does Chazal say? Asid Lekabel the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was called Toiv because Moshe is going to be the one that's going to be Mekabel Toivayin Hu Yivarech. He's the one that's going to be Mekabel. The word Tov is always synonymous. It's always a code for Torah. It's called the Gute Shabbosim because it is on these Shabbosim we take out multiple Sifrei Torah.
Why don't we take out another Shabbos? Why don't you take it out each Shabbos for the second?
Only two psukim. There are only two psukim for Shabbos. Uviyoyim HaShabbos, if we wouldn't take it out of the Maftir. A regular Maftir? Why would you take out a Sefer Sefer Maftir? So there's no din. The last Aliyah is the Maftir. This that we do, Bizman Azan, another, an eighth Aliyah for Maftir is a modern thing. You're not supposed to really have an eighth Aliyah. The seventh Aliyah is the Maftir. We do, for whatever reason, we make a Hoysof every single Shabbos.
Yes, which
you can give it to a Kohen. It's not part of the Shiva crew. We don't make it not part. But Nikra didn't know there's a Psul in the Sefer Torah. If you find, you learn the Sefer Torah, you find the Psul at the end. The Baal Kari, he lanes to the very, very end. And then he says, no, I saw something there. Let's go back and take a look again. And they call up the Rav, and the Rav Taka Paskins, there was a Psul. You don't, that's it, you're done. You don't. You did it already. You don't land because the. So you think it's cool. Now I just want to point out that it's interesting. The Hasach. How many Sifrei Torah? Going one step further. How many Sifrei Torah do we? Now that we're saying this idea. This is what it says in the Sefer Vayakal David. He says the reason why it's called Gut is Shabbos because Gut is Tov. Gut in Yiddish is Tov, and Torah is called Tov. These are the Shabbosim where we take out Tov. We take out multiple Sifrei Torah. How many Sifrei Torah do we take out in total? 8. to list a minimum of 8. This year we could take out 9 because we have Shabbat, this Shabbat Chodesh, we have 3. But you take out a minimum of 8. And that fits very well. Chanukah is Vayar Lekim Esor Ki Tov. The Chanukah, the miracle of Chanukah, every time you deal with the Or Hagonos, you're dealing with Tov. Or Hagonos is always dealing with the number 8, is always the number. So indeed, there is something to it. The 8 represents Lamad Rechateva. Whatever 8 represents for Chanukah is what 8 represents for the good of Shabbos. If you thought Chanukah was over, you can't escape. The Dalit Parashah also always merames to the concept of the 8 of the Arthur. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have the Yom Parashah, the Eilecha Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem. Rashi on the Pasik tells us, what's Lifnehem? Omar Loya Kodesh Baruch Hu Lemoshe Loy Tal Adatcha. Hashem says, don't think. Loimar Eshne Lochem Aperik V'Halacha Beis V'Gimel Pam. I'll teach them the Halacha 2 times, 3 times. At Shetehes Sedur B'Fiem Kim Mishnasa. I'll teach it to them. I'll review. It's a 9-to-5 job, being a Malamed in Klal Yisrael. The Eini Matriach Atzmi LeHavinam Atame Hadavar UPerush. I'm not going to exert myself to teach them the reasons and the explanation. Therefore, Lekach Nemar, Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, you're not going away so fast. Nemar Asher Tosim Lifnehem. Rashi says something very bizarre. Kishulchan Ha'oruch Umuchon Lechol Lifnei Ha'adam. Torah has to be like a Shulchan Aruch, a table that is set, that is prepared, and ready to go. Walk into a chasna hall, you see the tables are set, silverware, and the plates, and the food, and the appetizer, it's all ready to go. That's how Torah has to be. And in fact, obviously, Rav Yosef Karo, he took this Rashi, and the Shulchan Aruch is called the Shulchan Aruch, pretty much based upon this Rashi. Kishulchan Aruch Umuchon Lifnehem. Now, what is the deeper meaning? Where did Rashi get this from? What's the connection? So, Lachor, you can say, and Rashi really alludes to this, the beginning of the Rashi, is the smichus of this week's parasha, Parashas Mishpatim, to the very end of Parashas Yisro. The last section of Parashas Yisro is the Mizbeach. And the Torah there is very machmid. Mizbeach Adam et Hasali tells you how to build a Mizbeach. Loi sonif aleihem barzel. Don't lift up iron. Don't lift up a sword. Barzel is something that's mekatzer yamo v'shnoisav shaladam. The mizbech is here to be maruch yamo v'shnoisav. Don't walk up to the mizbech on steps. V'lesegale ervoson olecha. Don't expose yourself. Don't be mevaze the mizbech by exposing your erva. There's a question exactly what it means. L'skala, we're learning one interpretation is don't be mevaze. If you're going to take steps, you're going to expose yourself partially upon a holy matter, in front of a holy matter. That's not respectful. You have to show respect for the mizbech. Now, taking that in mind, and then it says, "Ve'ele hamishpatim asher tosim lefayim." Chazal tell us, "Bizman shebeis hamigdash hayekayim, the mizbech was mechaper for the sins of man. But bizman she'ein beis hamigdash kayim, shulchanoi shel adam is mechaper. The person's table, your dining room table, bizman hazeh is the equivalent to the mizbech." There are many halachos we learn from this. You have to have salt on the table. The table, some say the table should, some even go to the extreme. The table should be square. All these bizarre things. Not that they're bizarre, because the shulchan, it represents
marble top.
The shulchan shel adam is a reminder. The chesed a person does on his shulchan, the learning, the sacrifice, basically means the sacrifice a person makes on his shulchan. The mizbech is that he makes sacrifices. You give up of your own wealth to feed other people, to learn on the table, to do chesed on your table. The table is the makom where you occupy, your activities occur. The things that you do on the table are equivalent to the sacrifice, the mizbech of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, doing that, we have this juxtaposition between these two things is telling us the Eileh HaMishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem is that just like the mizbeach is something which you have to be mechabed, the mizbeach is something which requires honor, requires dignity. You're not allowed to use barzel. You're not allowed to have steps. Likewise, when it comes to the shulchan, the Eileh HaMishpatim Asher, the juxtaposition is telling us when it comes to the Mishpatim, the laws of the Torah, also require kavod, require dignity. Don't In other words, it is alluding to is the it's like a Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is the, we link it back to the Mizbeach. Don't lift up a knife to the Shulchan Aruch. Many people are in the habit of attacking the Shulchan Aruch. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, this is Aser. Why is it Aser? It must be the people who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, they're outdated. They don't know what they're talking about. They're living in a different time. That is exactly what it's telling us. The connection between the Mishpatim is like a Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch of our generation is the Mizbeach of the last week's parasha, which was juxtaposed to the previous parasha. And when it comes to the Mizbeach, you have to give it kavod. You have to be mechabed the Shulchan Aruch, not to second guess what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and not to be mevaz the Shulchan Aruch. It has to be Kishulchan Aruch Muchun. This L'chore is some deeper meaning. Rashi and Gaitor also, he alludes, in the beginning of the parasha, he does connect this parasha to the end of last week's parasha. Part mine own, part not my own. Part I stole from someone else, and part I expanded upon. Okay. Hagoynef min haganef pater. Hagoynef min haganef pater. Okay, let's go now. The first mitzvah is the mitzvah of... I'm just joking, you know. The first mitzvah is the Eilech HaMishpat Mashartasim Lefneim is the laws of Eved Ivri. So all the Mepharshim, this idea is said by many Mepharshim in a different way. Why, from all of the Mishpatim, the very first thing that we're going to learn, the Torah, the one to highlight the laws of Eved Ivri. Everyone remembers what they learned, the first thing they learned in the yeshiva. Everyone remembers HaKoyne Son Ladir, or Eilu Metziyah Shaloi, Ve'Eilu L'Chayav L'Hachris. Over here, gives the Torah. In other words, the Kabbalah's Parashas Yisrael was where you had the entrance exam, and you got into yeshiva, and now the Eilech HaMishpatim is the first day of sixth grade. Why did the Torah teach us the laws of Eved Ivri? Why did that start? Is that the opening halacha of the Mishpatim? So the idea the Mepharshim give, and this said, but again, I'll tell by different Mepharshim, they'd say it in a different way, is why in the person in their right mind would they want to acquire an Eved Ivri? Inevitably, he's going to work for you. Very good. How much already are you going to make from him? Not very much. You can't. The amount of service that the Eved Ivri is going to provide is not going to be, according to Chazal, really worth what you have to do to support him. You have to take him into your home, and koine eved ke koine odon la'atzmo. You mechuy v'toyv loy imach. You have to give him the same food you eat yourself. In fact, if you only have one portion of food, the halach is he gets the better portion of food. If you have only one pillow, he gets the pillow. When he leaves, when the 6 years are over, there's severance, hanukkah. And there are many scenarios where you have to do things for the Eved Ivri which are a lot more, you'd be doing for him a lot more than what he is doing for you. So why then would...
You can't afford more than one pillow and you go get an Eved Ivri?
You have to go give the pillow to the Eved Ivri.
Oh, he stole you.
There are a lot of examples. Okay, there are a lot of examples. So what then is the purpose?
Then you've got to give him it.
So yet the Torah goes on to say that there should be something called an Eved Ivri. In the event that a person steals, he doesn't have money to pay back, he should be sold. Bezim, well, someone has an Eved Ivri in order to pay back. But basically what the Torah is telling you is as follows. That in the secular world, when a person commits a crime, the way the court system deals with people, this is common in society, not 100%, but generally is punishment. When a person commits a crime, he's a ganaf, a gazlan, he does a crime, so there is a system of punishment. You lock him up, you have to punish him, to punish him for what his actions. The Torah is telling you that's not the laws of Mishpatim and Klal Yisrael. When a person does a crime, he's a ganaf, a gazlan, he was a shomer that was negligent, and all of the above, and all these crimes, the first thing the Torah says is, we're not focusing on punishment. We are focusing on rehabilitation. The very first thing is you take in an Eved Ivri. Much the Eved will gain from this experience infinitely more than what the master will gain from his presence. Why then the Torah demand that there should be something called Eved Ivri? Because we want to rehabilitate him. By taking the slave into your home and having him part of a healthy, functional family, that will bring him up to a normal, healthy person. After 6 years, he'll be able to leave and he'll go out into society and start his own family and be a healthy person. That is what the way the Torah wants to set out in the beginning, how to deal with people that are nichshal in mishpatim. And that's a very noble, very, very powerful concept. What?
That's the case. Why only stealing? Why not?
Everything.
As a murderer.
It's setting a tone. In a chadami, the same thing would be true for that. There's the shon who kills b'shoigeg, he goes to Ari Miklat. What happens in Ari Miklat? Ari Miklat, it says that in the sixth parasha also. It's a rehabilitation. He's among the Levim. He's rehabilitated. The Torah is setting the tone. Every situation you're in, it's not giving you an example. You have a murderer. A murderer that's chayiv misa. So it's chayiv misa. Let's say it's not, let's say there's a technicality. There are not two witnesses. But we have a videotape. A videotape that cannot possibly have been altered. Do we kill him? No. But the Torah is setting the tone that a person that's guilty of nichshol and mishpatim has to be rehabilitated. That is an extremely important lesson which the Torah sets out in the very beginning.
Just what I always thought was at the end of why it starts off with Eved Ivri.
Yeah.
Is because now that they're finally free, they've been slaves for 210 years, the mental state is, now I'm going to have my own slaves. God is Yoredlus of Daitel Shaladim, that he understands that that's what they're going to want. Now I'm on top.
We had a guy speaking, I said, about, he said they had slaves in Israel. That's right. The Jews had their own slaves. I said, how could it be just one? And that's why the Lashon Kisikna is for the future.
You have in the Civil War, thousands of black people had slaves too. Free blacks had slaves. They have records of it.
Okay, let's go to another idea. Yeah. We have here the Eved. The Eved Ivri, he serves for 6 years. After 6 years, if he says to his master, I don't want to leave. Life here is so good, I want to stay. So it says in the pasuk, what do you do? You take him to the door, you take him to the post, take out an awl, and you bore his ear. Rashi says, which ear? Okay, Rashi asked the question, which ear? The right ear or the left ear? A little strange question, like what difference does it make, right? So Rashi goes to a whole long Hayimonis. The Rashi is quoting the Daf Gemara. Hayimonis, the right ear. Really? Oy einoy ela small. Maybe we should think it's the left ear. Tamuloymar. Oizen oizen l'gzereshav. V'nemar kain v'rotza adonav es oznoi. V'nemar b'mitzoyra. Someone who speaks Lashon Hara. Tenuch ozno hayimonis. Ma lahalon hayimonis. Afkan hayimonis. And then the Gemara goes on. Maro oizen, why the ear? The ear that heard Har Sinai. Loi tignav. The question over here is, what is over here, what is here going on here? Why the Torah is so mak bedafko, the right ear, not the left ear? So perhaps we can suggest as follows. In Chazal, we always have a concept that there's a right and a left. The right is what you represents a symbolic of coming close, and the left represents pushing away. Lo'olam yehei adam mekarev biyamin v'doichek b'smol. You bring close with your right hand, and you push away with your left hand. A person who has his back to you, how do you turn him around? You turn him around by pulling with one side. The right you pull, and the left you push. You turn them around. Your person is going in the wrong derech. So you revolving door. You makarev b'yamin, b'doichek b'smol. You turn a person around. The left always symbolic of pushing away. Right is always symbolic of coming close. So here we have here a chazal. Let's try to use this to understand. When we're dealing with the ear, and if there's a right ear and there's a left ear, that can possibly mean in a deeper level that there are things that you're supposed to listen to and there are things that you're not supposed to listen to. Or maybe not say not supposed to, there are things which are you're not supposed to do. You can derive that you're not supposed to do from if I'm telling you I want you to go to the grocery store. So what have you told me to do? To go to the grocery store. What does it automatically mean? Don't go to the hardware store. If I'm telling you to do A, automatically means don't do B. So A is what I told you to do. That's what you heard me say. Do this. And what you derive indirectly, what you're not supposed to do, is what we're going to call the left ear. Since Chazal always associate right with coming close, and left with pushing away, perhaps we can superimpose this concept on the ear as well. The right ear is coming close, what you're supposed to do, and the left is what you're not supposed to do. And what you're not supposed to do is derive typically from what you're supposed to do. Now look at this Rashi. Rashi goes on further to say, why do we bore a hole in this person's ear? Because this person went and he sold himself as a slave to a master. He stole money, he got into trouble, and now he was sold by Bez Din. He allowed himself into this situation where he was sold as a slave, and now he has an opportunity to leave. So he says, no, I'm not going. I have to, yes, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. I want to stay here. I want to remain here as a slave under this person. Hashem says, weren't you present at Har Sinai where I told you, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim v'lo avadim li avadim. So there was something that you heard, and there was something that you didn't hear, or you derived.
In one ear and out the other.
You heard me say, "Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim." You're my slave, and that's A. Go to the grocery store. That's the right ear. That's symbolic of the right ear, what you heard. And then a normal person, a thinking person, can derive: if I am Hashem's eved, so my left ear heard. What did my left ear hear? That I should not be an eved. Lavadim. I should not be a slave to a slave. I should not be the slave of another fellow Jew, because a fellow Jew already is a slave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so now here's the big question. A person, he sells himself as he steals. And does and sells him. And now 6 years are up. And he has an opportunity to escape, to leave. And he says, no, I love you. You're so good to me. I want to be your slave. So we're now going to punish him. How are we going to punish him? Well, physical abuse. We're going to bore a hole through his ear, which is going to be a sign. He'll have that blemish the rest of his life. It'll be a mark on his body that this person was an Avarion. And number two, you want to be a slave? Good, you'll be a slave. It's much better than we're going to punish you with slavery until Yovel. So what are we doing? Are we punishing him? What are we punishing him for? Try to identify. What's the crime? The crime is, we're punishing you for your foolishness of wanting to be a slave by Mr. Reuven. Mr. Reuven was good to you for 6 years. I want to continue to be his slave. Shaita, why would you want to be a slave by Reuven for until Yovel? Be a free man. You can be a free man and you can live your own life. So we're going to punish you. Is that the reason why we're punishing him? Or maybe the reason why we're punishing you is not because of what you're doing. It's because you don't understand something more basic. That ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, you are the slave, you are the servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, let me try to phrase it in other words. Are we punishing him for the symptom or for the disease? By wanting to serve as a slave until Yovel by a human being, that's a symptom. What's the symptom? You don't have any self-worth. You don't have self-worth that ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, that you are a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you would think that the reason why we punish him and we let him be a slave until Yovel by his master is because of the left ear, not because of the right ear. The left ear is what he's doing right now. I serve for 6 years. I love you. I love you. I want to be with you forever. Being with him forever is a sin. But that's a sin that is only a symptom of a much greater problem. The greater problem is he doesn't have a right ear. He doesn't appreciate the concept ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. If you had self-worth and realized what your tafkid on this world is ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, it would never even be a hava mina for you to go and want to be a slave by someone else and limit your freedom to being inevitable by someone else. That's the difference between the right ear and the left ear. I'm not really explaining it well, but just probably give you own examples. And every time you have a person, you punish a person, why are you punishing the person? You're punishing the person because he did the crime that he committed in this very, very moment? Or is he punishing the person because you committed a crime, you failed to make the proper decision 20 years ago? 20 years ago, you had a choice. You could have gone to school and been a respectable person, or you could have dropped out of school and become a ganav from the gods, become a robber, become a bandit. Now it's 20 years later, and finally you get caught. You get caught for petty theft. You stole someone's wallet for $10. So now you finally, you meet up with the authorities from 20 years ago, and they're punishing you. Why are they punishing you? They're punishing you for petty theft, because you stole someone's wallet, now 20 years later you stole $10? That, yeah, you did a crime, for the crime you have to be punished. But punishing him for the $20 that he stole 20 years down the line, you're punishing him for the left ear. Because that's only an indirect consequence that was derived from making the wrong decision in life. But if you would punish him, you can punish him. You know why I'm going to punish him? I'll give you a punishment not for $10. For $10, they lock you up for one day. I'm going to put you away for 30 years, for the rest of your life, in solitary confinement. Why? What you did 20 years ago, a crime that you committed 20 years ago, which led to the matzav you're in now to commit this petty theft, to commit this crime. That would be the right ear. Hashem only said to Klal Yisrael on Har Sinai, "Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim." You're my people. If you fully appreciate, that's what you heard. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what went into your right ear. If you would have paid attention to this mitzvah, it wouldn't even be a havamina. You would never have come to this where you would steal and you don't have any money and Bezin needs to sell you and you're here for 6 years and you got to like the master and now I want to stay forever and ever and ever. If you would have appreciated what you heard, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadin, then you would never come to this. But you didn't pay attention. You didn't go into the right ear. And what happened? Avad v'loy avadim la'avadim. It didn't say, Hashem never said the words v'loy avadim la'avadim. Hashem just said, ki li b'nei Yisrael la'avadim. We derive the left ear is symbolic of what not to do. Don't be an eved la'avadim. Don't become an eved la'avadim. That's the consequences. That's the ripple effect. That's something which happens much later on that's derived. That's symbolic of the left ear. So now, when it's going to be 6 years later, and this person is being selling himself to become an eved until Yovel, and we're going to punish him, we're going to make the hole. Torah says maybe we should make the hole in the left ear because we're going to punish you for what you're doing at this very moment. In this very moment, you're doing something that is not proper. That's the left ear, because the left is symbolic of the derivative. What comes down the line, what you did not hear. I only said to you, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. You never heard me say, V'loy. V'loy is the negative. Go to the grocery store. Or go to the grocery store. That automatically means, don't go to the hardware store. V'loy avadim la'avadim. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm now going to the hardware store. Avadim la'avadim. We should punish you for being avadim la'avadim? No. Hashem says, you know why we're going to punish you? We're going to punish you because of the right ear. Oizen hayimonis. Because you made the wrong decision long, long ago. You didn't appreciate what it means to be kili b'nei Yisrael. And had you really understood that, this never would have come l'idekach. And that's the Musar Haskel is, don't wait to the very end. The Musar Haskel is, when you see a matzav like this, when a person has come ad k'deikach in such a terrible, desperate situation, when you need to make tikkunim in society, don't treat the symptoms. Don't treat the left ear. Treat the right ear. Take a hard look at yourself and go back to the shoroshim, where it all started from. The oizen hayimonis. That's where it all started from, and that's where the tikkunim needed. The tikkunim need to be made in the grassroots and the haschala. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea comes from Rabbi Wolfson. It's a very, very profound idea, and that has probably a lot of different ramifications. We have here this concept of seven and 50. Number 7 and 50 is a very popular number in the Torah. There's Shemitah. Every 7 years there's Shemitah. And after 7 times 7, there is Yovel. Right now we're in a Shemitah year. We don't have Yovel's Manazeh, but we have the Shemitah and the Yovel. Here by the Evidiv, we also have 7. He works for 6 years, and in the 7th year he goes free. And if he wants to stay, so then we apply the next big number, and the next big number is 50. Now the problem though is, the number 50, we are inconsistent. Manavshach. If we're allowing the slave to go free at Yovel, Yovel is on the calendar. So it all depends on when the slave sells himself. He has the bad fortune, he sells himself, he wants to stay by his master on the first year of Yovel. He's going to have to wait 49 more years to go free. Let's say when he's half the Yesadoni, if it's the first year of the Yovel cycle, he's going to have to wait another 49 years. Let's say he says half the Yesadoni when it's going to be year 48, he only has one or two more years to go until he goes free. So it's based upon the calendar. Now you would assume that since we're using the number 50, we're using it based upon the calendar, the Jewish calendar, so we would assume that when it says 7, it also should be based upon the calendar. The Torah says that if a person sells himself as an Eved Ivri, he works for 6 years, and in the 7th year he goes free. That 7th year has absolutely nothing to do with Shemitah. If you sell yourself in the Shemitah year, so you work 6 years, you go out in the 7th year. You sell yourself 2 years before Shemitah, Shemitah comes and goes. Shemitah has absolutely no effect, nothing to do with the person's 6 year cycle. He's a slave for 6 years, and the 7th year he goes free. If that's the case, if he says, "O hafti yes adonav yes ishtiv yes bonai," he should remain by the master for 50 years, no matter what. It should not depend on the calendar. So, Monoshach, if we're going to follow the calendar for Yovel, we should suggest that if a person is sold as an Eved Ivri, when it comes Shemitah, whenever Shemitah is, you go free. If you sold 2 years before Shemitah, so you go free. What? The Torah doesn't. That's what the Torah says. That's the question. What?
How do you make that jump? Because the Torah says you.
Well, that's the question. The Torah does not make that jump. By the way, you should know the Chizkuni does say this. This is something which is a shocking thing. The Chizkuni says that when it says in the pasuk about Shvi Yetzei, it does not mean your personal 7th year. It means Shemitah. If a person is sold, sells himself 2 years before Shemitah, and it comes Shemitah, he goes free Shemitah. Uva Shvi Yetzei is the Shemitah year. That's a Das Yoch. No one says that. No one says. Everyone says that you sold yourself.
Say 7th year, it could be the 7th day, or the 7th month.
But it says years. It says it's 6 years. 6 years, and the 7th he goes free, the 7th year. But halacha lemaisa, no one says that. Halacha lemaisa, if a person is sold as an Eved Ivri, he works for 6 years. And it does not make a difference. It does not make a difference if any of those 6 years happen to be Shemitah. He goes free in his 7th year. If he says after 6 years or half the Yesadoni, he's then taken as a slave until Yovel. We don't say we're going to wait 50 years no matter what. We say you go free when Yovel. So the question is, there appears to be an inconsistency. If Yovel, the number 50, depends upon the calendar, so we should argue that the 7 should also depend upon on the Jewish calendar. And if the 7 does not depend on the calendar, then the 50 also should not depend on the calendar. So why then is there this inconsistency between the year 7 and the year 50?
If the 6 years depend on the calendar, what would that do?
That means that if it's the Shemitah, a person sold himself last year. Doesn't sold the person last year. So this year, he goes free. Rosh Hashanah, this year, he goes free. It only worked for 1 year. Because it's Shemitah.
After saying Yovel is the key character.
Yes, yes.
So why would we stretch it to say, oh, by the way, since the Torah is so...
The Torah does not stretch. The Torah says that Shemitah, that the person is sold as an Eved Ivri, has to work for 6 years.
Stretch from Yovel, because the Torah is dafka by
Yovel. There's an inconsistency. If you work for 6 years, if you work for six, but why use the number 50?
The same logic you're using for the 7 years.
50. If you're working for 7 years, 6 years, and you love your master, so stay for 50 years. And if you want to follow Yovel, the Jewish calendar, then you should go free for Shemitah. There is an inconsistency in the number 7 and in the number 50. This is the question that Rabbi Wilson asks. It's a very good question. Why is there an inconsistency? So he says something that is extremely profound, and you have to develop what he says. The basic idea is when it comes to Shabbos, there's a halacha in the Sechta Shabbos, a person finds himself in the desert. You're in the desert. I don't know when Shabbos is. I don't know if today is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So what is halacha? The halacha is that you observe 6 days. You observe 6 days, and on the 7th day, and then the 7th day is Shabbos. But what's ridiculous? Why should you observe the 7th day of Shabbos? The seventh day might be a Tuesday, might be a Wednesday. Yet you see, there is such a concept that a person can create for himself his own Shabbos. It's more than just symbolic. The person makes Kiddush on the 7th day. He does things special on the seventh day.
The Yom Shav is symbolic of Hashem finishing on the seventh day.
So this is where, so you're touching upon what Rabbi Wolf says. Rabbi Wolf says as follows. The truth is, you look at the Aseres HaDibros, there's a difference between the first Dibros and the second Dibros as to the reason why we observe Shabbos. In Parashat Yisro, we observe Shabbos because of Ma'aseh Bereishis. Hashem created the world on 6 days, and on the seventh day Hashem rested no matter what. The rest was a complete rest. This is built into the calendar. There's another reason why we observe Shabbos, the Luchos Shniyos, is because Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim. Now what is Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim? Moshe Rabbeinu, when Klal Yisrael were working as slaves, he convinced Paro, it's not good for a slave to work 7 days in a row. You have to give a person a day of rest. Now that one day a week has to be a day of rest. That can be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whenever it is. Some people want to take off on Tuesday. They work the weekends and they're off on Tuesday, one day. And Paro said, fine, I'm going to give you one day of rest. That one day of rest was a day when they devoted to the study of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, he gathered Klal Yisrael on that day of rest. Paro granted that one day. Moshe was makil kihilos, and he taught them mitzvos Torah, and he was mechasek them. And when they left Mitzrayim, according to the second Dibros, Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim, I took you out of Egypt. And just like in Egypt, this has some of the first to learn, just like in Egypt, there was one day of a week, one day you observed as a day of rest, which you spent your time being mechasek yourself in Emunah. So that should now be for you a Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim forever for 7 days. Now that reason has nothing to do with my liberations. That has to do with your own personal accomplishments, your own personal accomplishments of Emunah. You work for 6 days and one day you rest and you mechazek yourself. So the truth is, now you can't, you have to coincide. We had the day of rest that Rabbi Wilson explained. So we learned from this Gemara, we learned from this concept. There are two different reasons for Shabbos: the Luchos Rishonis, Luchos Shnios, that there are really two different dinim in Shabbos. There's a din in Shabbos that depends upon the calendar. It depends upon Ma'aseh Bereishis. You can say it's mazel. It's predetermined. This is your fate, whether you like it or not. There are most things in life you have no choice. This is the way it is. Hashem made the world in 6 days. On day 7, He rested. But then there's a Shabbos that you earn. You earn Shabbos. In Mitzrayim, they work for 6 days, and on the seventh day they rested. They earn, Moshe convinced Paro that they earn a day of rest after working for you 6 days. They need to recuperate. And on that day of rest, they devoted to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Mechazik themselves. There's a Shabbos that you earn. Chazal say if Klal Yisrael would only keep the two Shabbosos, Mashiach would come immediately. The deeper meaning is, there's a Shabbos that you earn, and there's a Shabbos that you acknowledge there are things in this world you have to acknowledge that are not, they're not, you have to stand down. Have emunah that I have faith. There are things that I don't understand in this world. It's a very difficult balance where you draw the line between koichi v'oitzim yadi osali asachayel hazeh, a person that has power, has control over his destiny, and also to recognize the Shabbos ma'aseh bereishis. The Shabbos of the Luchos Rishonis is a Shabbos of koichi v'oitzim yadi. I earned it. I work 6 days. What I work during the 6 days is what I accomplish on Shabbos. That's why a person in the desert, you can't fulfill the Shabbos of ma'aseh bereishis. You have to focus on the other dimension of Shabbos. You count 6 days, and on the seventh day you rest, whatever the seventh day is, even though it may not coincide with Shabbos and Ma'aseh Bereishis. You have to earn, you have to create your own Shabbos. That is critical in the concept of Shabbos. So here, Rabbi Wolfson says the same thing over here is true when it comes to the Eved. And the fact is, the first law of Mishpatim. The Torah opens up the laws of Mishpatim after Matan Torah. We're introduced to the mitzvos, and the very first mitzvah we are introduced that when a person in this world, when a person suffers, or when a person is a victim, or a person is an aggressor, you have to realize that there's this balance. The Eved, he has committed a crime. I've committed a crime. Okay, so I have to pay. I have to pay the penalty for my crime. There are things that you are fully responsible for in seven. You committed a crime, you have to be sold. You have to be sold for 6 years. On the seventh year, you go free. Because whenever, and those six is not dependent on my liberations. It is not dependent upon the calendar of Shemitah. These 6 years must be observed whether you like it or not, because it's your consequences, your actions, your mice, you're responsible for your actions. You are a ganof, you owe money, you have a responsibility, and there's no easy way out. There's no excuse in saying, It's fate. It's mazel. It's nature. I have a predisposition to be a ganef, to be a criminal. And therefore, I'm not responsible for my actions. You can't lock me up. That's the way Hashem made me. No. Shemitah will come and go, and you'll be sitting in prison. You are responsible. But then if a person says, oh, hafti yes adoni v'yes ishtu v'yes bonai, the Torah says, to some degree, you're right. If you really are suckered into this, where you sink to such a degree, the Torah says, you know, you're beyond hope. You're beyond help. And therefore, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. When it comes yovel, you go free. You go free. The Torah is teaching us, when it comes to mishpatim, a person has a set of rules, and a person has to acknowledge that there's mishpat. And the person has to acknowledge, the person will argue. People argue this today in society all the time. It's not my fault. You can't blame us. You can't blame the reason why we have a life of crime. This is the way we are. The answer is, you're right and you're wrong. You're wrong the first 7 years. It's not totally in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shemitah will come and go. You'll pass through Shemitah, you'll be sitting in prison, you'll be sitting. But if at a certain point in time, then the Torah does acknowledge there is a degree of MS that not everything in your life is under control, and your freedom will come at Yovel, that a time that's based upon the calendar, it's not dependent upon your actions. Okay, let's jump to the end of the parasha. There's something I came across. This is not my idea. We have here they come end of the parasha. We see that the Bnei Yisrael Har Sinai, they see the Livna Sasap here. They see what? This idea is not my idea. I saw this in a sefer called the name of the sefer ends with Pinchas. I don't know the name of the sefer. Just what I'm telling you is not my idea. It's a short idea. We have here at the end of the parasha, they Vayiru Eis Elokei Yisrael, Vayal Moshe Vayaron Nodav Aviv V'Shiv Zigna Yisrael, Vayiru, and they saw Eis Elokei Yisrael V'Sachas Raglov Kimasei Livna Sasapir, sapphire stone, sapphire bricks, Uche Etzem Hashamayim L'Torah, like the purity of the heaven. The essence of the purity of heaven. Rashi on this pasuk comments, pasuk yud, why was it called the Livna Sasapir? He hoysa lufana b'shas hashibut. Liskar tsarasan shel Yisrael shahayu mishubadim b'maisin levenim. During the time of the Shibud Mitzrayim, they were there for 400 years. They worked for 87 years. Avodas Perach. They made bricks. They built Pisa and Vies Ramses. They built these two cities, and they had to make bricks. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminded himself of the suffering of the Jewish people by fashioning his throne out of those very same bricks. Just like his people were making bricks out of Kash V'Teven, down here on this world, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his world, he sat down, he had his Kisei HaKavod rest upon also Levanim, to remind him that his people are now suffering down in this world with Levanim. So the question I still ask is, if that's really the case, that's why it's called a Levena, why is it a Livnas Hasapir? Hashem's Kisei HaKavod should be resting upon Levanim that looked like Kash V'Teven, straw and stubble. Just like we here on this world when we suffer. We were suffering by building bricks that were made from cement, Kash, and Teven. Hashem wants to remind himself of our suffering, and he puts his Kisei HaKavod upon Levena, something that is fashioned in the Tzura of a Levena. Shouldn't it be a Levena of Kash, the Teven? Why are those Levenas Even Hasapir? So in this Musa Sefer he says, because even though to us, when we suffer in this world, it appears that there is no purpose, and there is no benefit, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Levena, in his knowledge, serves for us a very great purpose. And by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the Levena to acknowledge that we're suffering, but it's a levain that's sapphire. Sapphire is sapphire, the most valuable commodity in this world. The purpose of going through the shibud was in order, was the kor harbaz. The Chazal tells us many times, the reason why we needed to suffer for 87 years in Mitzrayim is in order that we should be refined. We should, our nature should be submissive to serve as a slave, so we can channel the midah of serving as a slave towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it was all for our benefit to be in Mitzrayim, to go through this process, what Chazal called the Kor HaBarzel. And that is a Musar Haskel, as a chizuk for any time a person struggles in this world. When we struggle in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows about it. He's well aware of our suffering. Just like in Mitzrayim, when we suffer with Levenos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is well aware Hashem had the Levena there. But the chizuk is that by Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a levain of kash v'teven, it's a levain of safir. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is aware that the suffering, the nisyonos that we go through, are all ultimately for our ultimate benefit.
There's a minig when you bury someone, you put a pillow of kash
v'teven. Why?
I don't know. There's a minig. Put charis on the eyes, but under the head they have like a little pillow and... Some are
not going
to put
them
in the earth, some
are going to crush it. By the way, the laws of
Eved
Ivri, are they still really
chal
today?
The laws of Eved Ivri, can you hire a person as an Eved Ivri?
Yeah.
So shockingly, some say they do. How do I know this?
They want to use it for
Mamzerim.
What?
To be Metara Mamzer. A mamzer is not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, right? So he wants to have children that it will be accepted in Klal Yisrael. So what is he to do? So the solution is an Eved Ivri is allowed to marry a Shifcha Kenanis. So a Shifcha, so what you do is, what he technically, no one does this, but technically a mamzer marries an Eved Ivri. Eved, he marries an Eved Kenani. And the Eved Kenani, so he marries an Eved Kenani, so a Shifcha Kenanis.
And then they have a child.
So a mamzer has to sell himself as a slave. He has to sell himself as a slave to someone else, as an Eved Ivri.
And marries a Shifcha Kenanis.
And now once...
And they have a child.
And now he's allowed to marry a Shifcha Kenanis, and that child converts, and that child's a full-fledged Jew. A mamzer can't marry a Jew. But can't marry a guy either. A mamzer can't marry a guy, and he can't marry a regular Jew. He's stuck in between. But if the mamzer will sell himself as an Eved Ivri,
he's not considered a mamzer anymore.
He's still a mamzer. He's the same mamzer. A mamzer blives a mamzer. He's the same mamzer. He has to be an Eved Ivri. The mamzer has to become an Eved Ivri.
So
now I'm selling myself to you as a slave. Now an Eved Ivri is allowed to marry a non-Jewish woman who's also a slave.
Right.
The non-Jewish woman also has to sell herself as a slave, but she's non-Jewish. And he can live with her and have a child. And that child now will be converted. Already is converted to some degree, because the Shifcha Kenanis already is partially converted, and that child will be a full fledged Jew when the child goes free. Yeah, right. That's what that's the solution.
You're an Eved.
Okay, one last remes. One last. This is just a remes. This week's parasha we have Kol Asher Diba Hashem Naseh V'Nishma, the Pasuk of Naseh V'Nishma. Every day after, why did Klal Yisrael say Naseh V'Nishma? We have a contradiction. We have halacha that Kof Aleim Har Kigigis. The Klal Yisrael was forced to come with a contradiction. When we said Chazal tell us that Hashem Baruch Hu took the HaTorah and he forced us to receive the Torah. On the other hand, the Pasuk says, Kol Asher Dibra Shev Naseh V'Nishma. So Chazal answer, Naseh V'Nishma was for Tevarim Shebechsav, Torah Shebechsav, and Kof Alim Harakigas was for Torah Shebalpeh. So Torah Shebalpeh is something which we were forced to accept because it was beyond us. It was beyond us. So therefore we need extra special koyach to survive. Every single day after daven, every in the Brachas Hashachar, we make a bracha that is very mysterious bracha. First thing, the bracha, Oiter Yishol B'Sefara, Oizer Yishol B'Gvura, Oiter Yishol B'Sefara, and then the bracha, Hanosein La Yo'ef Koyach. And the question is, where does that bracha come from? It's a major mystery how that bracha crept into the Nusach HaTfilah. It's very recorded by the Goinim. The Goinim instituted that we say the bracha. All the brachas are recorded in the Gemara, but the bracha of Hanos and Layev Koch is not recorded in the Talmud. It's a later innovation into the Nusach HaTfilah. And the question is, where did it come from? Atkei Kach, that somehow you shouldn't make the bracha. There's no will makar, and you should make it b'lishem malchus. Halach l'mais, we make it b'shem malchus. So just we have one of the piyut and the Zemer for Shabbos, Yoyne Motzim Noyach, Paschal V'yamru. How does it go? Nase. But first it says Paschal V'yamru. Nase V'nishma Amru Kiyachod.
I know.
Okay, it says there. I've got the words of the piyut, but they Nase V'nishma. And then they said Hashem Echad, and then Baruch Hanosein LaYoeif Koyach. So what's the connection? The connection is Naseh V'Nishma was on Torah Shabbat. The reason why these two are juxtaposed, Naseh V'Nishma represents Torah Shabbat Sav, and Hanosein LaYoeif Koyach represents Torah Shabbat Peh. The reason, now, the bracha Ozer Yishol B'Gvura and Oter Yishol B'Sefara, and look in the Mepharshim, they tell us that those two brachas were given Keneged Naseh V'Nishma. What does it mean? They say it's Keneged Tefillin. Ozer Yishol B'Gvura, Yugurd Yishol B'Gvura. The gird means koyach, you have might. Where is a person's koyach in his hand? That corresponds to the yad. Yad is nase, it's to do. Oter Yishol B'Sifara is the crown, that's the mind. That represents nishma. So the two brachas, Ozer Yishol B'Gvura, Oter Yishol B'Sifara, correspond to nase v'nishma. Again, Ozer Yishol B'Gvura, might. Koyach, nase, Oter Yishol B'Sifara is the crown which goes upon the head, the mind, the understanding. Nase v'nishma. Nase v'nishma is Shebech Saf. Next brach is Hanosei LaYoev Koach refers to Torah Shebal Peh. Because Nase v'nishma is only on Torah Shebech Saf. And being that the entire bracha Kof Alem Har Kegigus is Tar Shebal Peh, it's Bedavka for this reason that it's not recorded anywhere in the Gemara. The Talmud Bavli is really Tar Shebal Peh that was not allowed to be recorded. Only because of a Tanai, only because of Uziyevshar, Eis Lassos, they put it in writing. But Me'ikar Hadin, it should not be in writing. There are certain things that are still preserved in Torah Shebal Peh that were never put in writing. And in order for Chazal to emphasize this, the bracha itself of Hanosein LaYoev Koach, which corresponds to Torah Shebal Peh, Bedavka was not in the Gemara. Because that truly captures the essence of Torah Shebal Peh.
That was one of the things that were given. It was Torah Shebal Peh that was not written down even in the Gemara.
Right. That was the Davka. That's why the bracha is invisible in the Gemara. Because Oter Yishol B'Sefara, the two brachas of Ozer and Oter correspond to Naseh V'Nishma. Naseh V'Nishma is Torah Dvarim Shebech Saf. That can be written. But Anosin LaYoyev Koach corresponds to Torah Shebal Peh. And Torah Shebal Peh, B'Davka, is not to be written. It was only preserved through tradition. It's not even to be found in the Gemara. Okay, we'll stop here.